All right. You got your? Do you have your thing?
I always have my thing.
You never have your
thing. I had
thing.
A better one. I forgot what it was, so we're just going with the one I remember.
Do it.
Welcome to Opinion Havers, a movie podcast for people who sleep with seven pillows. I'm Cody.
And I'm Tyler.
Tyler, how many pillows do you sleep with?
Seven.
It's for you.
Yes.
I've got three.
Three?
Yeah, but I never use one of them.
Why do you have it?
I've got a big, thick one that's way too thick. Thick? But I use it thick, and I use it to prop myself up for when I'm sitting in bed writing in my journal. And then when I finish writing my journal, I cast it aside in a very dramatic fashion, and then I go to bed.
When you do it, do you make a sound?
Oh, I can't not make a sound.
I hate that I make that sound when no one's around because of you. Like, I'll throw something, I'll go, and I'm like, oh, my wife's going to leave me one day because if I made that sound one too many times. And she's like, that's it. It's over.
Welcome to every relationship I've ever had.
Dark moment. Oh, welcome to the Cody Single Podcast, our new weekly show.
No, we're two.
Where we talk about how single Cody
single
is.
People talk about how single Cody
how
is.
How dare you, sir. We're talking about you being single right now.
Tyler, open up to me. Don't hide from me. I'm right
I mean,
here.
I'm an open book. I'm just saying you're the sad single one. You said it to me. Also, your mic is so far from your face. It's like a foot away. You moved it further away after moving it closer. Cody, take this moment and move the mic closer to your face. You act like it's rocket science to move. Oh, it's so loud. Better. What do we watch, Cody?
What did
you subject me to?
I made you watch Elephant Man.
Yes. The Manned Elephant.
Yes. It is a David Lynch film.
Or is it
film.
The Elephanted Man?
The Man.
Only David Lynch knows.
Elephant. David Lynch's second film. Good job on that research, Tyler.
Yes.
1980. Would you describe it as a fast-paced thrill ride?
I would describe...
Tyler.
What?
We're doing a podcast.
Oh.
Elephant Man is over. You can wake up now.
Yeah, sorry.
I'm sorry. It. Tyler, I'm so sorry.
I'm also tired, boy.
I'm also not sorry.
You know what? Just because of that, I'm going to have my Pokeball going during the podcast.
Do it.
If you hear a buzzing sound, I'm catching Pokemans. I'm connecting the Pokeball, Cody. Cody, summarize this thrill ride for me.
I would gladly. Elephant Man is a true story.
True story.
A vaguely true story about a man, a deformed man known as the Elephant Man.
Hold up.
Okay.
I just caught a fan pee. A elephant Pokemon.
Destin.
Yes. That's a different game, but go ahead.
And there's a doctor guy who takes him in and... houses him and is nice to him. That's pretty much it. It's kind of a bummer. It's very slow. I felt really good about it. What did you think? What were your first impressions, Tyler?
I thought Anthony Hopkins did a good job.
Mm-hmm.
He was a young man. I'm used to seeing him as an old man.
Yeah.
Not Gary Oldman. As an old man.
I feel like you didn't enjoy it.
I would not have watched this film by myself. I will not most likely watch it again, although I feel in my heart that I will see it again before I die.
It's funny that you mentioned you wouldn't see it alone, because about, I don't know, 5 months ago, I tried to watch this movie by myself.
How far did you get?
I actually got about 30 minutes in.
Before you gave up?
Before I gave up, and I was like, too much? Can't do it? Maybe another day. And then I abandoned hope. And I was like, I'll never watch this. And then, lo and behold, I found it on the internet again.
Yes,
I was like,
did.
No, I'm going to watch it. And if I can just hold Tyler's hand while I do it, I can make it through.
You didn't hold my hand once. We were both too distraught.
I held your hand in my mind's eye.
Mm. But not in real life. We're not close enough. We're not close enough to touch each other anymore.
Just reach out.
You moved over.
Make an
effort. I
have
the Pokeball in my hand.
Drop the Pokeball. Don't.
I can't.
Drop the Pokeball.
You know what? Here.
If you switch hands.
Did you sum up the movie?
I did. There's only so much to say.
There's really not much.
There's an elephant, man. And Anthony Hopkins is there. What?
There was the other guy.
The Carney guy.
It was not great.
Yeah, it was a very Lynchian performance. I feel like David Lynch either hires bad actors, like he hires a couple good ones and a couple bad ones, or he hires all good actors and is like, you be kind of weird and look like you're doing a bad job acting. And that's like his direction to them.
Yeah.
Oh, there he is. There's my guy. He's reaching out. Oh, I can almost feel your fingers, except they're 3 feet away.
Do you want to do a visual gag that no one will ever see because we don't have a visual podcast?
I'm ready.
Look at this thing. Look at this. I wondered, why does it have this little ring on the Pokeball? Right?
Right.
There's a little ring. Throw. Suck back into my hand.
Oh,
throw.
My goodness.
Suck back into my hand like a real Pokeball.
Wow, they thought of everything.
They did. Nintendo?
I'm just hoping
sponsorship?
That one day the government...
Question mark?
The government will do enough really cool secret underground experiments to create real Pokemon.
I don't think you want that.
Tyler.
Look up a thing of...
I'm so sad.
You're unsettled by the Detective Pikachu movie. You could not handle real life Pokemon.
Yeah, that's true. Except I would.
You don't want to see that movie because you said it looked awful. You said it looked horrifying. Detective Pikachu. Oh, and he goes, Pika Pika? When he's like, cuts to what the girl sees instead of him? I was like, oh my gosh. Oh!
I will see any movie where Ryan Reynolds is the voice actor. You know what I'm saying?
Pika Pika! I need you to have a cat so I can pet it, because I feel like I need to feel something fluffy right now.
I could wrap a blanket around my shoe.
It's not good enough. I need something fluffy.
Tyler's reaching
nothing.
Around. Can't
There's
find
nothing
fluffy. I'm sorry.
Nothing fluffy.
If you've got something fluffy, tweet us. At Opinion Havers. Oh, there he is. Oh, his belly. He found his belly. Good job, Tyler.
Belly's fluffy.
Tyler, I'm going to be real with you. I am fully prepared. If you are.
To spoil a 50-year-old movie?
Yeah. How dare you, sir?
It's 40.
It is 37? 47? How old is this movie?
It came out in 80. It's 2019. Do the math. You have a college degree.
39?
Yes.
I'm ready. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
I'm just going to put you in this cage here.
Oh.
Carriage. It's got a cage. There's a monkey. Don't worry about the monkey. He's super chill. Just get in.
You can go F yourself, David Lynch. I'm not getting in the cage. I'm going to escape with these little people / other names they may prefer to be called.
Yes, the politically correct name for people that are very short.
Vertically challenged. That seems like the most offensive thing to call him. Why did he take the dollhouse with him?
There was a little person.
Or a dwarf or a midget. Whatever they would prefer to be called.
But I do know that he was wheeling around a dollhouse of some kind. It's like a little castle or something.
Yes.
Through the woods. As they made their escape. Anyway, here we are. Spooky wood, lakeside, wooded area.
Of?
Spoiler Dale.
Oh, you went with the Dale.
I felt
it's quiet in this Dale.
See the Dale. Where's Clyde?
Yes.
He can't be far.
He can't be far. He owns the Dale.
I had some friends over, and I was trying to explain the podcast to them.
Yeah, you can't explain that joke. It's too much.
We were slap happy enough that I recreated the narrative, and they were laughing just as much as I was. I don't know how. It was very late.
I tried to find that spot of the podcast to show a friend of mine, and I landed smack in the middle of the part of the podcast where I was talking about him and how thick his neck is. And then I turned to him and I was like, I'm talking about how thick your neck is and how I say it all the time. He's like, you've never said that. And then right as he said that in the podcast, I was like, I tell him all the time, and every time I tell him, he's like, you've never said this. And then he's like, I was like, they're right there. Right there. It's proof. It's on the podcast.
Wow.
He does have a thick neck, much like you have your thick pillow.
Thick pillow. Oh, okay. I mean, I had a few thoughts about this movie.
You had many thoughts.
I mean, biggest thing worth sharing, I feel like, is like, I appreciated this movie.
Yes.
It was a little bit slow. It was a little bit long for me, honestly.
It is long.
But I do feel...
lighting an incense.
...that it touched my heart a little bit. Made me sad at times. It made me kind of happy, like a bittersweet at other times. Because of the Elephant Man's journey. And that he was such a sweet, kind spirit.
Intellectual soul.
He was a smart boy.
He read the Bible every day.
He read the Bible. He read Romeo and Juliet with the actress lady. He got kidnapped. It's flashing all kinds of lights. Your Pokeball's flashing all kinds of lights at me. What is that? What is happening?
I caught a Pokemon.
Good job. What'd you catch?
I don't know. I'll check. Continue.
But, I mean, just for that, I was touched by the movie and think it's very good and is an important movie. I wouldn't say it's perfect by any means.
It was a slow poke.
You talking about the movie?
Because
it's very slow.
It was slow.
We, at one point, you were losing it. Like, you were not ready to keep watching the movie.
Well, I would have watched the movie. I do not walk out
but
of the movie.
But I made the mistake of mentioning there's so much of this movie left. Because I could feel that in my heart, I was like, this movie's almost over. But I knew that that was not the case.
Oh, I expected there to be an hour and a half left. I expected us to be 15 minutes into the movie.
We were barely over the halfway point.
Yeah. It's only 2 hours, which is not very long by today's standards. When, what was it, Avengers, like 3 hours of Infinity War? And you have like Lord of the Rings Extended Editions, which I'll watch two of them in a night, which are over 3 hours long. Stuff like that. So it's not really super long, but it feels super long.
It's just a slow pace. It's just amazing that you take out the action of a movie, you stay on the same shot for a long time, and it just feels so
you have
long.
Very jarringly strange shots.
Yes.
A lot.
David Lynch
of them.
Is just an interesting man, and his movies are so weird and surreal and good, but like weird and strange.
I'll give him this. From what I saw, because I've seen Dune, I've seen this, I think I saw another one of his movies, I can't remember. I looked at the list and I immediately forgot the list.
Mulholland Drive? Blue Velvet?
No.
All right.
Whatever you say, I'm going to say no to. I believe he likes to try stuff and be like, let's see what happens.
Hmm.
And a lot of times it doesn't work, but every so often it does work. And that's why the industry likes him. Because they're like, they seem to like people who are willing to try new stuff.
Yeah.
Because it's so easy to not do that.
Yeah, I know a lot of people that respect David Lynch, but I only know a few that are like big fans of his that are like, oh, he's awesome.
Yeah.
And I've watched, this is the first of his movies I've seen. I've seen the first season of Twin Peaks, which is like 20 episodes, I think. No, 13 episodes. I've seen the first season of Twin Peaks. And there are things that I like about it, but I don't know, I'm not sold on Lynch yet, but I do respect him, and like I said, there are good things about this movie. There's just things about it that I didn't like. Like, it felt...
The Carney?
I mean, the Carney guy wasn't doing a great job acting.
He was not.
Or
was he
doing
the best
job at being a bad actor? I don't...
You know who did a good job?
Who?
John Hurt.
John Hurt. High fives all around. Can you believe...
That is an eloquent man.
Yeah.
Who managed to make himself sound not eloquent, but then become somewhat eloquent.
Yeah.
But struggled to be eloquent.
Yeah, his physicality was great because he had to look like he had deformities and had difficulty walking. And and all of that, and they did a great job. I was looking up some trivia about this movie.
Hmm?
He worked 17-hour days.
Oh?
Because it took them 8 hours to put on all the makeup and 2 hours to take it off. So basically, he would have like 10 hours of just makeup. And then he would get a few hours of acting in. It's crazy. Yeah. So he would wake up at 5 a.m. and then be done with work at 10 p.m.
Oh.
Can you imagine?
Did he make a lot of money?
I don't know. He got nominated for an Oscar.
Who cares?
Did not win. This movie...
I looked at that. Tell them the number.
It was nominated for 8 Oscars.
How many did it win, Cody?
0.
Not one. I told you. What did I tell you?
You were going to freak out?
Yeah.
You're going to lose it. What did you say?
Probably both. I was like, I probably said, Cody, I'm going to lose it. Cody, I'm going to lose it if this didn't win an Oscar. If it didn't win a single Oscar, I'm going to freak out.
There's a super interesting Oscar fact about this, though.
It was cheated.
Yes, here's the thing.
By Megamind.
Oh my gosh. At the time, there was, at the minimum, everyone was like, at the very least, this should win an award for makeup.
Yeah.
Because Elephant Man makeup. At the time, there was no award for makeup. So if there was an exceptional film, it could get considered for like, they would give like a special achievement award for makeup to someone. And it did not get that honor that year. And people like were writing into the Oscars saying like people in the industry were saying this is terrible that it's not, you know, not being considered, not going to win an award.
David Lynch.
And so the next year, they introduced the best makeup category. Best hair and makeup category. And so now it exists as an Oscar category because of this movie. Because before it didn't.
So it never won an Oscar, but it created a category.
It created a category for Oscar. For the Oscars. Isn't that interesting?
Just like Jaws wasn't, or was it Temple of Doom? Raiders wasn't PG-13, but it created PG-13.
It was
the movie. No, Jaws created the summer blockbuster.
Yes.
Indiana Jones created
Red Dawn was the first movie that was PG that people were like, how is this not rated R? And like, but it's not R, it's somewhere between. Temple of Doom came after that, and it was such a big blockbuster. People were like, wow, this definitely needs
to be. So was it Temple of Doom?
Yeah, so it was like Red Dawn sparked the big controversy.
Don't,
and then Temple
don't
of
bring
Doom,
your communist,
the first,
anti-communist, right-wing PG-13? Propaganda mm-hmm. into this. We're talking about Indiana Jones and the Elephant Man. Or just the Elephant Man.
I'm sorry.
Maybe
you
just
can't appreciate a movie of a bunch of American teenagers fighting off the Third World War started by Russia and communist Cuba. I don't know. I don't know what's more American than that, sir.
I'll tell you what's more American.
What?
Them fighting off North Koreans. I almost said South Koreans.
Yeah, you did.
But it's North Koreans are bad guys.
Hold on. Are we not at war with South Korea?
No, we are at war with North Korea.
Sure.
Fun fact.
The armistice.
Still at war.
Isn't there like, there was an armistice but never like an official
yeah,
end?
Just a ceasefire.
That's
still still currently at war with them.
That's cool.
Cody, what are your thoughts on the Korean War?
My grandpa was in the Korean War.
Oh, yeah?
Isn't that cool? Stationed in Japan. And he always tells me the story of when he went to, it was like a bath, I don't know, I think it was a bathhouse there.
Yeah, hand job?
Oh dear. Sir, I'm offended.
Your grandpa listens to this, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. He's listening right now. He always tells me the story that he went there and all the girls at the bathhouse were giggling at him.
Giggled?
Yeah, because he had a really hairy chest. And they'd never seen anyone with that hairy of a chest. Yeah.
Tyler, you got a hairy chest?
Brandishing his chest hair. I do, but behold.
You shave it.
I shave my chest.
Oh.
I know.
Disappointing.
I'm sorry,
also just showed me one nipple. You didn't even show me your chest. You like lifted your shirt up, showed me a nipple and a little underboob.
Tyler, how dare you criticize the way that I flash people? I have to be true to myself, my own form, and my expression. And I think you should be grateful for the nipples that you're given, sir.
I mean, you're really pleased with yourself with that one, aren't you? You had a huge grin on your face after that one. You showed off those dimples real nice.
So, yeah, that's pretty much how I feel about the Korean War.
Okay. So back to Victorian era London with the Elephant Man.
His name is John Merrick.
Did you see...
Actually, his name isn't John Merrick. The Elephant Man was a real person.
Yes.
His name was Joseph Merrick. And for whatever reason, in his memoir that this movie's based on, the doctor's memoir, calls him John. It's never explained, but his name was Joseph Merrick. And so now everyone still knows him as John Merrick.
Maybe he couldn't pronounce Joseph?
No, because he signed his own name as Joseph. Like,
well, I was going to say, maybe he said John.
By all records, including like the Elephant Man's like family and stuff, and his journal.
He didn't have family.
His journal.
His mother was killed by a elephant.
Anyway, they're all like, oh yeah, his name's Joseph. Don't know why that guy calls him John. Can't find any reason why he does either. Isn't that fun? That's one thing. When I was reading the trivia on this, I was like, wow, that movie was so touching, and Elephant Man came from such a dark place, you know,
yeah,
being abused by this guy in a freak show at a carnival, and then the doctor, like, took him and, you know, gave him this place where he felt safe and was able to make connections with people. Anyway, most of that isn't true. Like, he did live at the hospital, but also he had, like, a good business partnership with the guy at the carnival. He made a ton of money from it. They were, like, 50-50 business partners and everything.
Yeah.
So I was like, there was not this evil carny person in real life.
Yeah, no, he was actually fairly wealthy from...
Yeah, he did very well for himself.
Yeah, he will.
He was eloquent enough and well-studied, just like the movie showed. But, yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, he looks almost like... You know, you look up a picture of him, they nailed it with the makeup. They really nailed it.
I actually haven't seen a picture. I'm going to do that right now. Let me just... Oh, wow. They really did.
Yeah, like, they got it, even to his comb over.
Wow.
Like, you look at the stuff, and it's like, they didn't fade the bulge very well on the head, but, yeah, they nailed it. Like, it's not as... His is much more, obviously, natural looking.
Yeah.
Because it's actual growth in the... messing upness of his skull. But yeah.
Man, that's interesting.
He's got the weird hands, which I feel like every deformed dude in a horror movie, they just copied his hand.
Yeah,
how it looks.
It's like one big...
Because he's got like three fingers or something like that, I think. He has like one weird finger and then like... He has like... It almost looks like a crab claw, I think.
Uh-huh.
His... Was it right arm? Yeah.
His working arm?
No, his working arm is normal.
Yeah.
His right arm,
his right arm was the one that was
messed up. But yeah, like you see, it's all...
Oh, yeah.
You got like a crab claw.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, it's literally like every movie where they're like, deformed person with a messed up arm. Just copy with Elephant Man's hand looks like. I'm like,
yeah.
You guys got to be more imaginative.
Man.
But yeah, he does, it is sad. But the real life story is less sad.
Yeah, it's a lot less sad. I was surprised how much less sad it was. And, I mean, it doesn't bother me too much. I understand that it's important. You know, like, I think the film comes first, especially if you're talking about David Lynch.
Yeah.
And it was a beautiful story the way he told it, and so I did appreciate that. It made me feel catharsis, you know?
You seen the skeleton?
Yeah.
It's a skeleton. That's his real-life skeleton.
Wow.
Anyway. It's just crazy.
Yeah, it is just interesting that of all the movies I've seen, you know, because you see stuff all the time where it's like movies based on a real story and then the family's like, well, all this stuff didn't happen, like, which is fair, but how many people's lives follow a path that makes for a very compelling story and a three-act structure and all that, so I don't mind. And like I said, it made me feel things, you know?
Did you feel?
Maybe want to be nice to people.
Yeah. It's a touching movie. It's the kind of movie, like, I will suggest, my parents have definitely already seen it, but I'll be like, hey, you guys should check this out. You'd like it.
Yeah.
My grandma would probably like it. She likes black and white films.
Yeah, that's another thing. That's an interesting choice. Why do you think, so it was made in 1980.
At the twilight of black and white films.
Yeah, why do you think they did it in black and white?
I think
his first movie, David Lynch's first movie, is black and white as well.
My guess would be twofold.
It's what? Okay,
twofold.
Fold one?
It makes for a more compelling, I think, Oscar bait movie. I feel like whether the movie is actually more intellectual or not, being in black and white, is it is perceived that way. And two, and I think the first one was a bonus. I'm guessing the second part is the real reason, is at the time, and I only know this, listening to podcasts of people who went to film school during that time period.
Mm-hmm.
Black and white cameras were a lot cheaper because they were not wanted by the professional filmmakers, so they like donated them to schools and stuff, yeah. Or you could buy them at pawn shops for, you buy them and the film for them for a fraction of the cost of a color film.
It is interesting, just aesthetically, it kind of gives it a much older feel.
Yes.
Even though it was made in the 80s, it looked like more like a 60s movie to me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And, it takes place in like the 1880s.
Victorian era.
Yeah, Victorian era.
It's late 19th century. It's all
because I looked it up and Joseph Merrick died in 1890. He was born in 1860, so it was within, that time frame. So it does give it like a much older feel, but also that sort of film noir feel.
Yeah.
And it almost had that vibe, and there were some interesting use of like lighting and shadows. Like I noticed in the very beginning when Anthony Hopkins asked the guy for like a private screening, there's some interesting shots with like the light where like he turns on the lamp and there's like a bright light that goes on and casts the shadow, and it's just such a noir thing to do. It's an interesting choice, but like you're talking about the Oscar bait thing, that's something Steven Spielberg did with Schindler's List. He's like, well, I want this to have a classic and like timeless feel to it, so he made it in black and white, even though at the time, like, I can't think of another black and white movie from the early 90s, but it's just interesting that it makes it feel like an older film, even if it's shot with like modern techniques, and like especially Schindler's List, it's like got very modern cutting
very
edge,
modern
violence. It's like far more like bloody and violent than you'd ever see in a movie made that would have been in the black and white era, but it's interesting.
Yeah. It was an interesting choice. I'm sure the thing, this being his second movie and probably before people knew who he was, the cost savings is probably the bigger factor that played into that.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be surprised if it also wasn't like kind of a similar idea of like, we're aiming for, that crowd of people that appreciates these classic movies.
Mm-hmm.
So let's shoot it in that style. Because even down to the some of the effects were very reminiscent of older films, like the weird overlays and fade in and out.
Yeah.
And so it's like, obviously he thought about it as filming it as an older film, not just black and white.
Yeah. But now that we're talking about it, if I'm not mistaken, Raging Bull, which was one of the other movies that got nominated for a bunch of stuff that year, that was in black and white.
I'm telling you, man, the Oscars love black and white. Roma's in black and white.
Roma is in black and white.
They love black and white. Because, here's what I think. I think the reason the film buffs of that level love it is because it requires you to get more creative with lighting because you don't have the colors, so you have to use just the shades of gray.
It's also like
there's more than 50 of them.
It's like also like costuming is totally changed when you consider, oh, it's black and white.
Yeah.
I wonder if it makes it simpler or if there's like other, there's probably other considerations to make sure. I don't know.
It just changes. It changes the way you do everything.
Yeah.
Because there's stuff like I can't remember. There was something. Well, I had it. I had a little fun factoid about a movie. Some black and white movie. It was. I think it was like Schindler's List or something. And it was like how they make the simplest effects, like that you would just do, like just have like a beam of light or something in a color movie, and they just have to do it completely different. And they usually end up having to film it and, like, invert the colors and do all this weird stuff in black and white. And it's just interesting how much more effort you go through, but how much more stuff. like you notice a shadow immediately in black and white, mm-hmm. whereas in a color film, it's just in the background, no one notices it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So you have to take care to not have shadows. So it'll be like, you'll see a set, I think that's one of the things that showed was like a set or something of black and white film, and there's like four super bright lights cut every, because they're like, we have to make sure there's no shadows, because they stick out like a sore thumb.
Yeah.
Like they are noticeable. And stuff like that. So it's interesting of considerations and stuff. So I think that's why they like them so much, because it takes a different, requires a different approach that I feel like the Oscars, I've started to understand kind of, I feel like what they're going for more now that they pay more attention to video game awards, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Because, so at the Game Awards, are you familiar?
No.
Like, imagine the Oscars, but cooler, but for video games.
Okay,
so like,
there.
E3 and the Oscars are mixed together.
I'm ready.
So, the thing that wins Game of the Year, there, the general consensus is, they're not really trying to pick what people had the most fun, like, what you would have the most fun playing, but they pick what is the best the industry as a whole produced. Like, if you were to say, I'm going to go back and play Game of the Year 2007.
I was going to say something.
It would be, what is the game that encompasses and, like, showcases the best of that year? So, like, what game took the biggest step forward and had, like, the biggest impact from that year. And I feel like they try to do the same with movies, and they fail. But they try.
I don't know if I agree with that. I've been following the Oscars for not that long. But I have seen a lot of movies, and I've been watching a lot of movies the last few years, and trying to catch the ones that are in the Oscars. I do not understand what wins Best Picture, because sometimes it's something that's like, totally new and groundbreaking. Other times it's something where, like, well, that was the safest possible pick. And I just don't... Like, if you look at Moonlight, which won one year, which is like, oh, this indie film about what it's like to grow up being gay and black in a very black part of Florida, versus Shape of Water, which is like, cleaning lady kidnaps otherworldly monster, and they have this different romance. Like, well, those are very different. There were other movies that were about race and about, like, brought up these issues the next year that didn't win. I don't know. I just don't understand. Kaylin. Oh, I called you Kaylin. Tyler. I don't understand.
Yeah. I mean, it's all a voting system, so it kind of probably depends on where the vote, you know, I mean, because there's the kind of, I wonder how often it ends up being where something like Moonlight wins, because I don't know how their point system works. I'm pretty sure nobody knows how their voting system works. Pretty sure it's a closely guarded secret. But if it's like...
Well, I think they just pick.
But there's more than like two people that pick.
Yeah, several thousand.
So they vote.
I think there's 8,000 or 9,000 members of the Academy.
Yeah. So they vote. So how every other award show does it is you pick, and it's like a point system, right? And the thing that essentially wins the most points wins.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times with those systems, they'll have you pick like three choices. You know, 1, 2, 3, and they get 3 points, 2 points, 1 point.
Yeah.
So there's lots of people who pick the same things, but there's tons of people who pick this thing for their number one slot, and everyone else is like, no, 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 that's my number three slot, no, no, no. But everybody picks the same number two, number two wins.
Interesting.
So I wonder how often that happens,
where
everyone is fighting over these, you know, two or three other movies, and the one that everyone agrees was actually really pretty good wins, just kind of as a one that everyone agrees on. And
yeah. That's why I don't get... Because the Academy now... It used to be they did 5 nominees for Best Picture.
Now they did 15?
Now they're like, We'll do at least five, but up to as many as you want.
Yeah.
It's like this year there are 8, I think.
Desperately trying to stay relevant.
I know, and that's the thing. I was like, 3 of these should not be nominated, honestly. They're good movies, but they're not.
Well, see, here's what I
think. The best Hollywood has to offer.
I wonder if, because, so, in the last couple years, I feel like they've tried to make some fairly significant changes to stay relevant, you know? Mm-hmm. And I wonder how much of that is due to, obviously, I'm a huge fan of the video game industry, and it makes billions upon billions of dollars. Mm-hmm. The most profitable entertainment franchises in history are video games. So I wonder if they're not looking at, like, the Game Awards, which is the biggest show there, and looking at that and being like, we should probably move to try to be more like that. But in order to do that, they would probably end up alienating most of their... You see me struggle through that word?
Try it again. You got it.
Hold. Oh.
Take a breath in. And a breath out.
Alienating.
Oh, wow. Hey.
Most of their more snobby audience. But part of the thing there is it's treated like it's an award show where they give out the awards. They talk about what happened in the industry, and they announce upcoming stuff, you know, and stuff, things like that.
Which is not what the Academy Awards are.
It's not.
If anything, but there's like the Science and Technology Academy Awards that happened before. That's like, here's all the camera, you know, you can get awards for making the best camera and advancing graphics technology and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But no one cares or watches that because it's so technical. It's like no one would understand any of what anyone's talking about.
Yeah. I mean, the most successful... So, like, the shows that make a lot of money, that people pay to go to, that have super high viewerships, whether they be in music or video games or any industry, are more like a trade show where they give out the awards, they announce stuff that's coming, and they showcase what has happened throughout the year.
Yeah.
And they're watching their numbers decline and their popularity decline as these ones are going up, and they're thinking... Oh, that's not good.
Yeah.
But they really can't change because if they change to be that, they kind of stop being the Oscars and start being just the People's Choice Awards or something.
Yeah, and that's the problem is it goes from being the Academy of all these Hollywood insider filmmakers giving each other awards because they're the ones that are entrenched in film and, you know, appreciate the art of film versus the masses who... go to movies when they're interested in the movie, but, you know,
all in all,
aren't going to see the small budget, sad indie films that sometimes end up at the Oscars, you know?
Well, but, I mean, by that same token, like, the Game Awards, I'm sure there's lots of, I'm guessing there's tons of music awards I just don't pay attention to.
Grammys.
The Grammys?
Country Music Awards. The Latin Grammys.
But they're all done by... industry gives
them. The Grammys
awards,
feel a lot more like People's Choice Awards, though. Like, they award, like, Album of the Year is almost always something very, very popular.
Yeah.
Whereas the Oscars
they did the best.
End up being something, it's rarely a popular film.
Well, yeah.
But sometimes it is Titanic, Lord of the Rings, Schindler's List.
I guess the only one I think of in the Game Awards, they do a thing where it is, they have Indie Game of the Year. So it's an independent studio, independently published or something. They get their own Game of the Year, and they're like, look at this one. This is really good. So it's a huge deal because there's been years where an indie game will win just Game of the Year.
Yeah.
And then another good one wins Indie Game of the Year. So, yeah, it's just like... Because then they're like, this is the best of the best of the best, which is obviously going to go to, just like it would go to, if you were to give a movie to the one with the best actors and the best effects and the best budget and the best performance in the box office, it would go to like a Star Wars or an Avengers or, you know, it would go to a Disney movie, honestly. But they don't want to do that, like you said. So you just focus on everyone else. And ignore them.
Yeah.
Or give, like, I mean, there's really no way to change the Oscars with that. But I like how we've gone into the Oscars for an hour and a half. Because we are incensed that the Elephant Man didn't win. But what do you think? How would you change the Oscars before we go off the topic?
I don't know if you can. If you look at the origin of the Oscars, it was people, Hollywood people, having a party at a hotel, and they'd be like, hey, Phil, loved your movie. You win Best Picture. And everyone's like, good job, Phil. And now it's this organized thing, and it's this giant academy, and there's 9,000 voters and all of this. I don't know. I don't know how I would change it.
Here's a better question. How would you get them more viewers? Because you don't necessarily have to change their voting system or how the awards are given out to get more viewers.
I don't know. The problem is you hire a stand-up comedian to host the show, and comedians by nature do humor that's subversive or topical, and then inadvertently some people get offended, and then, you know, it's like some people aren't watching because they're going to get offended, and they're not watching because people are going to talk about politics in their acceptance speeches and all of that. But what... I don't know. How do you... It's like hosting the Oscars is like the hardest job in the world, i.e. they couldn't get a host this year because you're going to make a bunch of people mad and it's really hard to do and it's just a lot of work. You have to write 8,000 jokes and then whittle it down to 200 and then the day of the show pick which 50 you're going to do and 10 of them are going to offend people and I don't know. It's just like all of that's a mess. I don't know, man. How do I get more viewers at the Oscars? I don't know. I have no idea.
I have an idea.
Teach me.
One of the biggest, I think, issues with all of the movie things, the movie shows, you know, where they do the awards on any level.
Uh-huh.
Is that it's just them giving out awards for the entire time.
Okay.
And then making a bunch of bad jokes that 99% of them aren't going to land. And very awkward moments that will be gift for all eternity.
Right.
And I think that one of the biggest differences between music and movies and video games, which... Music and video games have very successful shows that make lots of money, that have tons of viewers, and the movies, is that there's a level of showmanship that they just don't bring, which I think is strange. You know, you think of, like, the Grammys.
Well, okay. Think about this. The people that do the Grammys, these are professional lighting people, professional audio people that do live shows.
Yeah.
Okay?
Right.
Academy. They make film.
Yes.
Meaning they shoot a bunch of stuff, they take the best of it, they cut it together to tell a story.
Right.
Now instead of telling a story and cutting, they're doing a live stream of an award show.
But what I'm saying is the people put it on aren't people who aren't filmmakers. What I'm saying, like, the person organizing it isn't a filmmaker, they're an event organizer.
Right.
The people lighting it aren't the same people lighting the new James Bond movie.
Right.
They're the same. They're people who light events.
I'm saying
you can't do it with the same showmanship that you can with those other things because there's a certain level, I think, of flair and what's the word I'm looking for?
Panache.
Sure. That is expected from them.
I could have said anything.
And there's a certain level of sophistication expected from the Oscars. But I feel like you could bring something to it, you know? Like, you could have, for best musical or something, be, you know, like the best original song or something like that, like have like an orchestra or something perform a medley of all of the best songs or something like that, you know? Something to break up just two celebrities come out, have awkward banter, and then give an award possibly to the wrong person.
Yeah.
And then go, ha, 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 and then walk away.
Yeah.
And then have some rich person talk at you for 20 minutes about either Jesus, drugs, or something that really only affects California.
Mm-hmm.
So something to break that up. Literally anything.
Yeah.
A musical performance.
But I mean, they do the best song. Like, normally, the songs that are nominated for best song, they perform those during the evening.
Throughout
the evening, yeah.
Do they actually? Do they perform them, or do they just play them?
They perform them. The girl from Greatest Showman sang her song from Greatest Showman.
Oh.
The girl from Moana sang the song from Moana that got nominated. Okay. You know what I'm saying? Like, they do these songs.
But did she just come out there in a dress, stand there and sing it? Or did they perform it?
What are you talking about? If she's standing there singing it, that's her performing it.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's what I thought.
What?
I'm just saying.
I don't.
You watch the Super Bowl halftime show.
Yeah.
Did Adam Levine just stand there and sing, not moving, staring into your soul?
I don't know what question you're asking me, but the answer is
what I'm saying is the Oscars.
They do a whole production. It's like a show.
It's boring.
All right. It's not going to go well this year.
It never goes well. It never goes well. Because those celebrities are weird people.
Mm-hmm. I think it's just long.
How long is it? 4 hours?
It's 3 hours.
Oh.
I watched it last year, and then I watched it on Hulu.
Oh.
I watched it on Hulu without the commercials. It was delightful. It's an hour and a half long, and that was it. And I was like, oh, it just went by like that?
It's an hour and a half long, and you said, how long is the Grammys?
I don't know.
How long are the Golden Globes?
I don't know.
I only know how long video game award shows are. If they're more than an hour, everyone starts freaking out, and they're like, this has gone on too long.
Yeah.
It's too long.
I mean, it's like watching the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that goes
on. That's what I'm saying. If you were watching it live, I think it would be great. Because it's not that long of a show. And it goes. They do different stuff. It's pretty engaging. I'm always curious to know who wins, and then they're done. But
yeah.
I don't know. So, I guess my question to you, Tyler.
Yeah.
Are we watching the Oscars this year?
I mean, I guess we have to. Yeah. We're going to have to talk over it. We're going to live stream it.
Live stream.
You don't know how to. I know
how to. I am
going
to freak out.
Because, yeah, you are.
Ask me why. Ask me why.
Because Black Panther is going
to
win?
No one I want to win is going to win.
No one's going to win. What did I tell you? Black Panther is going to win it all? And then, M. Night Shyamalan's hosting. Twist. What was the other movie I said was going to win it all?
I don't remember.
It's a movie that's not even nominated. I remember that much.
Oh, yeah.
What was the movie I told you? Don't remember it.
Nice.
It was a good one.
So, anyway.
So Elephant Man.
Catch Elephant Man.
In theaters now.
It's good.
It's good. John Hurt is a good guy. I like him. I feel like he should have been a much bigger actor than he was.
Yeah, because he got nominated 2 times in... Well, it was like in 1977 and 1981 he got nominated for Best Actor.
Mm-hmm.
Or once for Supporting, once for Leading Actor. And then never since then. He hasn't done... I mean, he's been in stuff, but he hasn't...
He's in Snowpiercer?
...had any big leading roles since then, I don't feel. Oh, he was in Snowpiercer.
He's good in Snowpiercer, too.
I didn't like that movie.
It's a good movie.
I respect your opinion.
It's good.
But I disagree.
I liked it.
Okay. Wasn't my vibe of movie.
It was too intellectual for you.
Exactly.
That Carney, he was really bad.
I don't know. He was all over the place, man.
Here's a little teaser for a podcast that may be coming soon. We've been watching the Alien movies.
Yeah, we have.
And there is a tremendous performance by a guy who we were both shocked by. And I think that this Carney gave this certain man a run for his money in one of the strangest performances I've ever seen in a film.
There were so many choices that happened, and not a lot of, like, consistency.
He's in the bathroom. Cody, take me through the entire arc of the Carney. He only appears, like, a half a dozen times. Take me through each time.
From what I remember, Carney rolls up, and he's like, hey, I've got a freak show.
Yeah, it is.
There's an elephant guy. And he's like, I sure do like having an elephant guy. Anyway, the police come and shut it down because they're like, you're upsetting people. Stop this. And he's like, whatever. I get this. This is my job. Every day I do this. Anthony Hopkins rolls up and is like, hey, I want to see the elephant guy. And he's like, no way, man. And he's like, hey, I've got money. He was like, oh, right. Definitely then.
Yeah.
Lets him in. He has a whole speech. He's like, elephant man. He smacks his cane on the floor a couple times. And then John Hopkins. Oh, dear.
Anthony.
Tony Hopkins. He sees him as, like, sweet. And then he leaves. And then the carny guy, I don't understand why, but he lets Elephant Man go with.
Because he rents him.
He rents the guy so he can examine him and stuff at the hospital. Because he studies anatomy and is a doctor and stuff.
Yep.
Let's see. Then I see him. He shows up and is like, hey, I want my guy back. And you're like, all right. And he's like, but no. And then his eyes get all big because they were like, sure, tell the police that you have a slave dude. And he's like,
but wait, he gave him back once.
Big eyes. Yeah, and then he did, didn't he? He gave him back once. At like the logic of that carny giving Elephant Man back and forth.
So he gave him back. The carny guy something, and then he beats him.
Yeah, he does.
And then he calls the doctor and says he fell.
He's like, he fell down all the stairs. Like, okay.
Yeah, because that's when it's introduced, because right. He's sleeping, like, he has to sit up and, like, lean over.
Yeah, he can't lie down and sleep.
Yeah. Which I identify with. I identify with the danger of sleeping on a flat surface. I could die.
Really?
That. Yeah. Look at that. That sleep apnea.
Oh, yeah.
His was obviously much more severe. Yeah. His was, like, guaranteed death.
Yeah.
Mine's a chance of death. And I like it. It's a little adrenaline rush every day.
Tyler Bergstrom, sleep dangerously.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, I don't know, it goes back and forth, and then he's
back.
Okay, I guess I lost. And then later on, the caretaker is, like, getting a group of people to go and show the Elephant Man too.
Yep.
So then
the hospital caretaker, who shows up, what, four times before this,
several
randomly?
Several times, pops up in Elephant Man room and is like,
what's up?
Sadu, I'm gonna get you, and then he leaves.
Yeah, exactly. Shockingly accurate.
Like, it's foreshadowing, but like I've never seen the foreshadowing be so blatant and happen so many times.
It's David Lynch, man. He's a master filmmaker. And, the best of the best.
Anyway,
your favorite.
So he rolls up with the posse and sticks around and is like sweet, and then takes Elephant Man. And he's off doing a show on the continent, which I think, could be wrong, means Europe.
Yeah. So wait. Hold up.
What?
Hold up.
Okay.
You missed my favorite part.
Oh.
So the posse rolls up.
Okay.
They mess up. They mess with Elephant Man.
Yeah.
They get all up in Joseph's face.
Yes.
And then they leave. And then caretaker dude's there, messes with him a little more, mm-hmm. and then he leaves. Make sure he's safe, though, because he's like, can't die, because then I'll get in trouble.
Yeah.
So he sits him up because he was laying down dying.
Yeah.
Sits him back up, leaves, and then out of the next room, Carney.
Oh, yeah.
Carney guy.
Carney
hiding
guy.
In the bathroom. And then he smacks his cane on the ground, his whip cane.
Uh-huh.
And then Elephant Man's gone.
Elephant Man's gone.
To the continent. They are on an island. The continent would be Europe. You're correct.
That's so smart. Continent, he puts him in a cage next to a baboon. I have a question. That monkey was jumping. He was very irate.
Yes.
How much animal abuse do you think happened on
that set?
Because...
A lot.
I mean, they had several shots of those monkeys freaking out, and it seemed... I mean, I don't feel good about their chances.
My guess is they probably had to kill them afterwards. As they usually had to when they get them upset like that. And they put them down. What did I tell you when I saw that, Cody? Cody? What did I say?
Something along the lines of like, nope. Screw you, David Lynch. I would not do that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I would
I'm out.
Quit
I'm
in that moment. If it was the last shot of the movie, I would say, no.
Okay, but
not getting
me,
in a
let
cage.
Me run.
The only thing between me and an angry baboon, an incredibly strong ape with razor sharp teeth, is very thin, what looks like 10 bars.
Yeah, but let me run a scenario by you.
Man.
Let me run a scenario by you. You spent 8 hours, you woke up at 5 a.m. and spent 8 hours putting the makeup on, and then they were like, hey, now get in that cage.
No.
It's going to take you 2 hours to get the makeup off.
Yeah.
So.
I'll sit there and glare at David Lynch for 2 hours. Be like, you get me a stuntman in this. I am not doing that.
8 hours putting someone else in this makeup.
Yes.
Wow.
Stuntmen are expendable.
It's true.
You can quote me on that, Hollywood. You put that in your textbooks.
All the expendables are stuntmen. Is that what you said?
Yes.
All right.
Cody?
Yeah.
That was the last we saw of the poor old Carney after he locks the boy in the cage.
Yeah.
And with that note, I have a shocking fact for you.
Oh, no.
Cody?
Is the Carney here? Is he in the bathroom?
He's been hiding in the bathroom the whole time. So, Cody, this is a true shocking fact.
What?
In real life.
Okay.
So, Cody, if there is one thing I trash talk more than anything, what is it, Cody? I think of
me.
The third thing. Oh.
I think of the third thing you trash talk the most?
Yes, and that's probably what I'm trying to get you to say.
Me?
No.
What? What is it? What do you trash talk?
Are you the first and third thing on that list?
I don't know.
I trash talk Hollywood, Cody. Okay. I trash talk Hollywood, and I trash talk California.
Oh, yeah.
And their snootiness.
Okay.
Cody?
Yeah.
Reach out your hand.
I'm reaching.
Touch me.
Yep, I'm...
Touch me.
I've got it.
Cody.
Yeah.
The shocking fact is my dream job, which is, in fact, a special effects engineer in Hollywood, California.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting. I know some people that work as editors in Hollywood.
No.
I know costume designer.
I hate them.
I know. That's all I know.
I hate them both. All of them. Tell them. Don't tell them. Don't tell them that. But.
It's your dream job.
This is shocking. Are you shocked?
I'm a little shocked, yeah.
Slightly less shocked than my favorite movie being from the 40s or whatever.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I can top that. That was a shock to you.
I can't even. I'm out of words.
You're out of words, but there's so many more Elephant Man quotes.
My favorite Elephant Man quote? They're in the bar. Everyone's being very rowdy. The caretaker, who's a bad dude, is trying to get everyone's attention. So his friend decides to help shush everyone by going, "You are! You are!"
Yep, and when you ask...
That's his shushing. I asked you, what did he say?
And I said, he made an old-timey noise.
I could not believe. He didn't say, I don't understand that man, but it made me very happy.
You know my favorite?
What? Why don't you tell me what your favorite thing is?
Now, hold on a moment there. I want to talk about my favorite quote.
The board of doctor. The doctor
yes.
Boards. Indignant response.
Yes, when they're like,
guy leading the meeting asks the guy a question, and he responds by cutting him off and loudly saying, "Hold on a moment," and then answers his question in a very irate way. It was amazing.
It was like, instead of talking about your thing, we will talk about my thing, which is also your thing.
It was such a cool power move. I'm going to use that.
And then the princess showed up and read a letter from the queen, which was the ultimate power move.
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
She even had her little... hand warmer fuzzy
yes.
Boy. I wish I remember what it was called, because at one point in my life, I knew what those were called.
If you have a little fuzzy, which is what they're called.
A fuzzy tube that you know, it's a fuzzy tube you stick your hands in.
But she stuck her fingers in it.
Yes. That's because...
But yes, traditionally you would put your hands
royal
in.
Royal people have notoriously cold extremities.
Yes.
Their fingers?
Because they're inbred and weak.
Yes. The poor diversification of their gene pool has led to Very cool thing.
You know that kid in high school that was like, I'm descended from Charlemagne?
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, cool. I guess that gene pool's dead.
Yeah, it is.
You always look at that guy and you're like, all right. There's always one kid who's from Charlemagne or the Caesars. And I'm like, you look like you're descended from a duck. They're never attractive. They're never attractive people. Supposedly descended from them. Anyway. Elephant Man?
Elephant Man.
Classic movie.
I mean, a flawless work of art, I would say.
I would not watch it again.
I won't watch it again. But I'm glad I watched it.
Much like Citizen Kane, awful movie that you should watch at least once.
Yeah.
If not, I mean, Anthony Hopkins, he's not great, but he's good. You could see the beginnings of his greatness.
He's solid in it, yeah.
Yeah. You could see what is either a child or a 35-year-old woman. In most scenes.
What was that kid that was the assistant to the carny? What was his deal?
That's the one I'm talking about.
Do you think...
That's the exact one I'm talking about.
Was he...
Or she.
Carney's son? Or daughter? Was he a kid off the street?
Or mother.
Like an orphan? Like an orphan that was assisting the carny?
I don't know, dude. Because... He's also at the bar.
I feel like he must
the
have been a relation.
The creature was also at the bar.
He's either an orphan or a relation, because there's no way he would... He did not like the carny guy. He did not approve of anything he did. So he's either related to him or an orphan.
But he was working at the bar. And the carny guy showed up. And he was working... And he wasn't he the guy who told the doctor he found...
That's a different kid.
Was it a different kid? Oh. Oh, and the whole movie thing.
There were two kids. And then... There was the little girl the elf man knocked over in the train station.
And everyone mobbed him.
There was the kid who was shooting spitballs at everyone. And then there was the kid.
There was no spitballs in that
There was
too,
the
right?
cameo from the Artful Dodger and Oliver Twist that were both there. Did you not see that? Was that not what came to you? There was like a tall kid with dark hair and then a short kid who looked like Scraggly. I was like, that's Artful Dodger? That's Oliver Twist.
I was too encompassed by the fact that the kid blowing the spitwads looked exactly like a young whoever plays Carlisle Cullen in the Twilight movies.
You're right.
He looked exactly... I'm convinced it's him. It looks exactly like him.
Could be. It really could be.
It really could be. Because I'm pretty sure he's British. And that would put... He would be the right age. He was in the 80s. Because he's like... Are you looking it up? Hold, Cody.
I'm not gonna look it up.
I'm gonna look it up later.
Look it up later.
If you want to find out the answer, well, how could they find out the answer, Cody?
They could tweet us at Opinion Havers.
Oh.
They could also use the internet.
But they don't want to do that. They want to find it out from you.
Jamie tweeted us like 3 times, 4 months ago.
Never again.
And never again.
How dare she?
Now, talking to some of our other listeners, they don't have Twitter, but I'm not backing down.
You're all about that Twitter.
I'm all about that Twitter.
Look, if you want to go out and drop $20 on 1,000 Chinese bots to follow Cody, we're not going to say no. We're going to say thank you, Shang Wei.
Man.
That was Shang Wong. Is that better? Wei's not a good last name.
What
Wong.
About...
Wong's much more stereotypical. But it's really Kelsey that paid for it.
Park.
Shang just did it.
What?
It was a whole narrative about the bots, Cody. What were you talking about? I wasn't listening.
I was thinking of Asian last names.
Oh.
And I came up with one that I think is Korean. Park?
You said Park?
Park. Yeah. I don't know.
Are you... Okay.
I've heard it.
Yep. If you want more amazing banter like this, you can find us on all the podcast services. Even
Name one.
iTunes.
Name a second one.
Google Play.
Name a third one.
I can't.
Oh, Tyler, I am so glad that we got to experience this together. Thank
yeah.
you.
It was an experience. The makeup was phenomenal. I can't believe they didn't win it. Because he looks exactly like it. Look up a picture. Just look up an elephant man. The one that looks like a picture from the 19th century? 1800s is what I meant to say. That's the real Elephant Man. The one that looks like a black and white film is the movie. Tweet Cody. Tell him what you think, because I think they look the same.
Yeah.
No difference.
I would agree.
Burn the Oscars down.
And until next time.
Yeah, watch movies.
And have opinions.
Oh,
we made it. Tyler, there's so much I didn't talk
about. Now, hold on one moment. I want to talk about the stuff we didn't talk about.
Now, hold on one moment. I didn't talk about how dapper he looked in his suit.
He did look very dapper.
Looks so dapper.
Yeah.
She, like, knocked a guy out by hitting with a pillow on the back of the head.
Yes, she did.
Remember the nurse lady? There.
Also, they tried to make a bigger deal about that romance. They were like, he swooned this young lady. That was the nurse. He didn't swoon her. They were in two scenes together.
Yeah, I don't know what that was.
What's your feeling on that?
I mean, I think they definitely made out once.
Definitely.